Brother Jeff said, I think I've known him for many years coming to Lafayette. I'm a member at Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church. I was saved in August 1979. Joined church and baptized all on the same day. That revival had broke on that Saturday night before that Sunday morning I was saved. And I got trouble that night. In trouble in a way that I had never been before. I'd been lost for years, but conviction, it came on me that night to the point where I didn't sleep. I got to the church house that next morning, and I don't know why I didn't mean to give my testimony to preach, but I guess that's what I'm supposed to do, is what he puts on me.
Amen.
And I got to the church house that morning, and that preacher got to preaching. And I couldn't wait for him to shut up and give an altar call.
Amen.
And that's the truth. Amen. Now, I couldn't wait for him to shut up, and then I got scared. He wasn't going to give one. And I sat down defeated, completely defeated himself. And in that moment, he saved my soul.
Amen.
And I joined church. He come around, and I joined church. And it just happened to be that we had a baptizing that afternoon. So it don't happen that way anymore, because folks, they seem to get saved and then they go a year or two or whatever before they join church and then be baptized. But by the grace of God, it is what it is. And I was saved, joined church, and baptized all the same day. I've been a Sunday school teacher for many years here at Lafayette. And I love teaching Sunday school. If anybody knows me, they know that I really enjoy teaching Sunday school. And I consider myself much more of a teacher than I ever do a preacher. I feel humbled to be in y'all's presence, because I know there's a lot of preachers in this church. And I don't feel worthy to be counted one amongst you. I got to do what he put on me to do. And I run from that many years. I ran from that I did run from, and that's the truth. And I guess if you don't get anything else out of what I preached tonight, I want you to remember one thing, that once you come to know the truth, you cannot not know it. You know the truth. You might deny it, you might run from it, or you might embrace it, but you'll never get away from that. And that's true. I don't care what it is. If you have ever been let know that you're lost and you've not been saved, you're just as lost as you will ever be. And conversely, too, if you've been saved and you hadn't told nobody and you know the truth in your heart,
Amen.
You're just as saved as you're ever going to be.
Amen.
I want to use some scripture from Paul. Paul was just a man, and he was quick to tell us that. Paul was quick to tell us that he was just a man, but he was one of three. After the ascension, the Bible only tells of three folks that had a vision or seen Jesus Christ. One being John, as he wrote Revelations on the Isle of Patmos. Stephen had his stoning. Paul at his conversion, and several other times. And you can look up, you can see, I think it's somewhere about the ninth chapter of Acts, you can see Paul's conversion. But he was just a man, but a chosen vessel that he was. A devout Jew, very devout in the following of the law. He was a Jew of the Jews. And before I get to my scriptural lesson, I want to go to the third chapter of Philippians, because Paul tells us what he was and then what he became. And I just want to look at that for just a minute. Y'all bear with me, and I don't know if I'll get this silly thing here going like it's supposed to or not, but can everybody hear me all right? Ain't nobody having a problem hearing me, I hope. I guess that comes back from my military background. And I'm not a long-winded preacher. That's just my makeup. I think that goes back to being part of the military. They told us, you get up there and you tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you got to tell them, and then tell them what you told them, and sit down. And that's how they did it. It was just, and that's just kind of my nature. So if I don't go along, y'all forgive me. But starting with the third chapter and the first verse, and this is Paul writing to the Philippians in the Philippian letter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you to say, he loved to tell his story. Don't get that wrong. He loved to tell his story. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. Beware of dogs. He's not talking about the barking dog. He's talking about contention people. He's talking about folks that are just contrary by nature, that no matter what you tell them, they won't argue. Evil workers, can't make it any plainer. Those folks that by their acts, you know, are evil folks. And beware of the concision. Concision, concise, or concision is cutting away of things that are unnecessary. If in literature and in writing, to be concision or to be concise is to cut away unnecessary words. What he's doing, Paul is doing here, Paul is making it known to beware of the concision is to beware of those folks that are trying to put precepts of the law into qualifications or as part of the salvation with Christ's coming. There's no part in it. So, circumcision is not required. There's no part of the circumcision is of the heart. And he's telling those folks to beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The works, you can't merit your way there, folks. You can't merit your way. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul says, I, from where he had came from, being trained at the feet of Gamaliel and schooled in the Mosaic law, he knew the law. I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Because in his persecuting the church at the time under the Mosaic law was lawful. He was following the precepts of the law that had been laid out to him. So in everything that he was doing, it was lawful. But Paul come to know the truth and righteousness. Paul was brought down. Paul learned the truth. And what I tell you, once you know the truth, you can't get away from it. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He come to know the truth. And then when he come to know the truth, he preached. Paul preached. Preached to his detriment. He preached, be instant, in season. And my pastor, I love my pastor, Brother Benji, and he's real fond of John's writing. I am real fond of Paul's writing. That's just me, and that's my nature, because he was, as he says, he was one born out of new time. For my scriptural lesson, and I just did that, I wanted to put in mind of what Paul had been, what had happened, and what he had became before I got to my scriptural lesson. And it's starting in the 28th verse of the second chapter and reading through the fourth verse of the third chapter. And we'll draw special attention to the second verse of the third chapter here in just a moment. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Starting with then with the third chapter in the first verse, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? He done a question and answer session, and he answers that much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and all but every man a liar, as is written, but thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. He's talking here in the letter to the Romans, to the church in Rome, and he's going and he's showing that God is not a respecter of persons, that there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All mankind is guilty. If you go back and read the first chapter of Romans, he declares and he shows that God has shown the world guilty. And it, through that guilt and through that sin, he also goes on to show some abominations such as idolatry and homosexuality. And then in the second chapter, he starts drawing it down to the Jews in what they had been given the law, but they weren't following the law. And because they had been given the law, they were also condemned by the law because they could not follow the law and obey the law. And even the ones that were trying or making a mockery of it and trying, they were doing the coveted part and getting circumcised, but then they were just throwing the law to and fro. It was like, wasn't he making an effort? So he asked them there in that 28, he's talking about for one that is a Jew outwardly, is not a Jew outwardly, even though he had been circumcised, which is outward in the flesh, but if he wasn't doing the law, if he wasn't following the law, then it was non-effect. But in the 29th verse, he said, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and he's talking about Gentile folks who were doing the law of God through naturally in the heart, is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. They weren't relying upon their own works. They were trusting in God the Father. And then he asked that question in the third chapter in the first verse. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? He's doing a question and answer format to drive home the point. He just told them that they're not any better than. You're still going to stand accountable. You'll be judged impartially just as the Gentiles are. And then he turns around and through this question and answer format, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. What's he talking about? What is he talking about, preacher? They had received the word of God. The Jews, up until this point, had been the only country, the only nation that had learned the truth of God. Didn't matter that some of them didn't believe. That's what the next verse is. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. The nation of Israel, the physical house of Israel, had received the truth and the word of God from the foundations, all the way back to Abraham, okay, through all the prophets, through all the judges, through all the kings, through all the scribes. Every one of them had been of the physical house of Israel. Every one of them. And before Christ's coming, anyone that was not a Jew could not learn the truth of God. They would have been impossible for them to learn the truth of God. But when Christ came, He tore down the middle wall of partition, and now faith is open to all mankind. We are no longer shut out. So, what are you trying to get at, preacher? What are you talking about? It comes down to this. What profit is to be around and be in a church of an old-time, old-fashioned missionary Baptist church? Much every way. Because you too have been given the truth. You haven't been watered down with some other way, because there is none other way under heaven in which man must be saved. It is through and by Jesus Christ. The doctrines that we hold true, that we hold fast to, are the same doctrines that will see our folks saved. Salvation by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Those are the things that will stand the test of time. Those truths are what our young folks need to hear. It doesn't matter that they don't. It does matter. But at the same token, just like that third verse there a while ago, does the fact that we preach the truth or give them the truth and they don't believe make their faith of non-effect? God forbid. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't know how to reach some of these lost folks in my church. The preachers can come in there Sunday after Sunday and they can preach their hearts out. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know how they can sit there in their seats. And they know and they've told us by their actions that they're lost. But the truth is preached, and I have every confidence in this church that the church is, that the truth is preached in this Missionary Baptist Church. And every Missionary Baptist Church that I've been to, I know that the truth is preached there. So then, what profit, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit there is circumcision? They heard the truth. They knew the truth. What profit then does the old-time Missionary Baptist folks have? They have heard the truth. And the truth will stand when the world's on fire. I told y'all and I promised y'all that I ain't a long-winded preacher. And that's the truth. I ain't. But I do want to thank y'all for this opportunity to come out and stand before you this night. And I would ask your prayers. And I would ask you to be mindful of our work going ahead. And I just thank you and God bless you.